You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
A couple of years ago, maybe about 8 years ago, Kendra had ankle surgery to repair a tendon in her ankle, which is where you have ankle surgery on your ankle. But anyway, she had this tendon problem, and she had to get her tendon repaired, and it was a long, slow recovery. Leg surgery does that. How about it, Jay, Robert, all you people at home, because of your leg surgery? And so because of that, after she kind of had fully recovered, we realized that she could not run on the treadmill anymore. The impact of the steps were too much for her ankle, and the doctor said, you know, try to find some other way to, to exercise. And so we were looking into some sort of an elliptical machine, and this, if you know what elliptical is, it looks sort of like this, where your legs move and you're not stomping or stepping. And for this elliptical, we're like, okay, let's go to a sporting goods store. So we went to an area sporting goods store, and we were looking at their exercise equipment. And I'm gonna slow down a little bit. We were looking at their exercise equipment, and we came across this thing. It was called a tread climber, and that's what you see before you. It's sort of a combination of a stair stepper. You can't really see that at this point, but it's sort of a stair stepper and an elliptical. This goes up more than it does kind of the forward. Tony Little, the gazelle thing. If you don't know what that's all about, you totally have to Google Tony Little because he's awesome. And then when you're done with that, jump over to Richard Simmons. So just to complete the picture, But the elliptical, this tread climber thing we were looking at, we're like, this is kind of cool. And we're like, is this something we're interested in? So, we do the typical, play the may I help you riff. Wayne's World reference there. Anyway, we just kind of stood there looking like we wanted some help. And while we're standing there, kind of from the other side of the department, this, I'm not here to shame anybody, but this very, very large, gentleman wearing the sporting goods company shirt, lumbered over to us, and he was one of those people that's kind of so big that you can tell his knees are struggling to carry the weight that he has. And and as he's walking over to us, of course, he has to kind of pause and, like I do right now, catch his breath. And and so we're sitting there, and again, he works for the company, and it then begins to tell us how amazing this tread climber is. He said, "You have got to get this. It is so good. You can burn calories like crazy. It's so much fun to use. It is there's tons of advantages for your joints and your limbs and your tendons and all those things." And just went on about how amazing the tread climber is. But by looking at him, you could clearly tell that this gentleman really had no clue how amazing the tread climber is. He couldn't tell us about how much weight he lost or how much. I mean, granted, he probably could have been 1,000 pounds earlier and he stepped down a little bit. But definitely there was no real authentic connection to the piece of equipment that he was trying to sell us. And so really there weren't even any questions we could ask. How does it feel when, it's in the morning, or how does it feel after you use it? Like, he had no experience on the machine. And so he was just trying to tell us from a third-person part, but clearly wasn't connected to it himself. And so we thought, he's not going to be able to answer our questions. He's not authentic. We can't really trust his example about how much this equipment is useful or how helpful it is. And so we decided to go somewhere else. And so inevitably we went to another sporting goods store and found this piece of equipment and had someone there that could really tell us, oh yeah, I tried that out for a few months just so that I could sell it, so I could tell you how it works, how well it works, how it burns calories, how after just a few minutes on this. And this is totally, like, I'm not trying to sell this to you, but not this one, we're taking it back home. But there's no question that the amount of exercise that you get is much more, it's more compressed. You can exercise for less time and get a lot more out of this particular type of machine. And so we bought that piece of equipment from that place. But the issue here is that, you know, and I'm sure you've had experiences like this, where you've gone somewhere and a salesperson tells you how amazing the product is that they're trying to sell you. And if you go so far as to say, well, have you tried it? And as soon as they say, well, no, then you're not interested. Like, why would you? You don't want anybody trying to sell you something that they haven't bought into themselves. And so this series, we're talking about duplicate. We're talking about how God has called us. Jesus has told us as his followers that we are to duplicate ourselves. As a follower of Christ, we have been commanded to make more followers, to make more disciples. And that's where we're going all month long. Last week, we covered so much stuff in a really short amount of time. And so hopefully over these next 3 weeks, we're going to slow down and focus in on some of those pieces of knowledge that we looked at. But this idea of making disciples, of duplicating ourselves, and when it comes to duplicating ourselves, if you're going to go to someone and tell them, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about how amazing Jesus is. Let me tell you how much hope there is in Jesus. Let me tell you how he helps me through all of my issues. And then they look at your life and say, wait, have you actually tried this, Jesus? Because what I'm seeing by your example tells me, why would I want what you're trying to sell me? Because it looks to me like Jesus hasn't made a difference in your life, and I'm not interested in something that you're trying to sell that's not your deal. And of course, as a follower of Jesus, if you've made the decision to believe in Jesus' death on the cross, you are a disciple. You are a follower. You are going to be with Jesus in eternity. But when we sin, we mess that up. We mess up that perspective. And the verse we looked at when we were kind of unpacking where we're going this week, but we talked about it last week, was this idea that we are ambassadors of Jesus. We represent Jesus to this world. And just like an ambassador, just like someone that works in an embassy represents the country that they are representing, we speak on behalf of Jesus. And so when it comes to this, we can't be an extremely overweight salesman trying to sell exercise equipment, because people just won't buy it, literally and figuratively. And so the point that I want us to look at this morning is that your example is necessary to duplicate. Your example matters. As a follower of Jesus, your example matters. And today's going to be kind of hard. Today's going to be a tough thing to chew on, because we're going to say some hard things. And again, hopefully you get it. If someone is trying to sell you something that they've never tried themselves, you wouldn't want it. You wouldn't want to buy that. You don't trust the opinion. And if we're trying to sell, obviously the metaphor breaks down a little bit because we're not selling Jesus. If you are selling Jesus, I can give you a bunch of passages that tell you why that's wrong. But when it comes to presenting Jesus, our example matters. Your example matters. And again, we'll get into this a little bit, but it's easy for people to be like, it's not that big of a deal. And I want you to know, it is a big deal, because we're talking about eternity. We're talking about heaven versus hell. That's a big deal. So, the passage we're looking at this morning, you may have just sung about it, or sang about it, or singed about it. But in Matthew chapter 5 is where we're going to spend the bulk of our time. You want to hit the house lights here. I think I'm going to get down, because I'm actually balancing myself right now. And it's a lot harder than it looks. but in Matthew chapter 5, this is Jesus speaking. And this is what we call the Sermon on the Mount, because Jesus was on a mountaintop speaking. And we did a whole series called Blessed, all about the first part of the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, which is the beginning of Matthew chapter 5. And he continues on right after that, beginning at verse 13. And Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill, or a city on a hill, cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So I want to pull this apart, and I think I'm going to get the stool over here. Because I'm not as tall as I thought. But I want to pull this apart and talk about some things. The first thing is just what I'm calling the obvious object lessons of obviousness. Because Jesus shares some things here that are extremely obvious. And hopefully, you know, you might, especially if you grew up in church, you're probably familiar with these metaphors so much that you kind of let them go over your head. But I want you to understand that they are not only obvious to us, but they are obvious to Jesus' original audience. So this is a big deal because we're kind of like, oh, I know that, and it goes right over our head. But let's just settle down here for a moment. The first thing is that salt seasons. Salt seasons. That's what salt does. And Jesus says in verse 13 here, he says that you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. So Jesus says, you're the salt of the earth. And salt, just a couple of things, you're probably aware of this, but salt is a season. It actually, that's technically not true. Salt isn't a season. Salt is a flavor enhancer, because whatever flavors are already in the food, salt draws that out. I don't know how that works. I can't tell you that. I don't know the science on it. It has something to do with sodium chloride, NaCl, and you can look that up somewhere about something. But it draws out. It enhances the flavor. And Jesus says, we are the salt of the earth, meaning we are here to enhance the flavor of the world. You exist on this earth. The reason why, get this, the reason why you trusted Jesus, he didn't suck you up to heaven instantly. You were left here because we, as followers of Jesus, the salt, we enhance the flavor. We've got something to make this world better. The other interesting thing about salt, and this is something that's a little bit less known to us, unless you're a jerk, or at least a jerky fan, a fan of beef jerky or anything like that, but salt is used as a preservative. They didn't have fridges back in Jesus' day. They didn't have freezers or anything like that. And the way they would preserve their meats was you would salt them, and they would turn into like a jerky kind of thing. And so that was used as a preservative. And get this, as the salt of the earth, because the preservative was to extend life, was to keep things from rotting. And we, as the salt of the earth, as followers of Jesus, we're here to also preserve life and to keep people from rotting in hell. And so we are the salt. You, as a follower of Jesus, I, as a follower of Jesus, we are a salt of the earth. And as Jesus says, that salt is good. It's good for salting things. But get this, he says, if a salt, and this is where it's obvious, if a salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? And the answer is, it's impossible. And he says, it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You've got your, I don't know why this became the standard. I'm sure you can look that up on Google too. But every table, restaurants, places, maybe pre-COVID we should say, always had the salt and pepper shaker. That's like the thing on the table. And so you've got this container of salt. And Jesus says, salt with salt is worthless. Just to be clear, and we take that and we sprinkle it on our food, unless you have sodium issues and then you don't. Or maybe you do have sodium issues and you ignore your doctor and do it anyway. Whatever. But saltless salt, there's a name for that. It's called gravel. Saltless salt is rocks. That's what it is. Just because that, if it loses its flavor, that's what, I mean, salt is mined out of the ground. It is rocks. It is a type of rock. It is a mineral. And so if it no longer has its flavor, it is now just gravel. So I'd encourage you, grab a handful on your way out of the parking lot, go home, get some lunch, and sprinkle it on your food and see how that works. Because it's pointless. It's worthless. And that's what Jesus says. And again, obvious. If we're the salt of the earth and we are not enhancing and preserving the world around us, then we're worthless. We're just gravel on food. So that's the first obvious object lesson of obviousness. The second one is this. Cities shine. Cities shine. And in verse 14, he goes on and says, where does he say here? It says, you are the light of the world. And we'll come back to that phrase. You are the light of the world. But he says a town, or not but, and he says a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. And you know, the area of Israel was mountainous. There's mountains and valleys and things like that. And so if you had a city on a hill, its light would shine out. You can't hide it. Now, this somewhat goes against what we talked about last week, because the city of London had to find a way to hide the light during the London blackout, during the Blitz of World War II. But a city on a hill, you can't hide the light. It's up there. It's out to be seen. And when we were in Texas for graduate school, I remember one day we took a road trip down to San Antonio, I think is where we went that day. And maybe it was a weekend. It's kind of a long hike. But I remember coming back. It was nighttime. And if you're if you've ever been to Texas, if you haven't, like, what you see outside is nothing like this, okay? Maybe what you see in this room is closer to Texas, although this is pretty high for Texas, this platform. But it's just flat. And so you can see, and they say this, you literally can see the curve of the earth. And I remember we were 2 hours on a 75-mile-an-hour highway, when you got nothing in the way, the 75-mile-an-hour speed limits. 75-mile-an-hour highway. We were 2 hours away from Dallas, and we could see the glow of the city because it was just flat. And the city, there was just the clouds, everything. We're like, that is the city. So if you had nothing else to navigate, you could get there because you just can't hide it. And that's what Jesus is saying. Look, a city on a hill, you can't hide it. A town built on a hill, there's no way to hide it because that light just shines. It goes out. You can't stop it. And he says that we are the light of the world, and we'll come back to that. So that's the second obvious lesson of obviousness, is that cities shine. And then the third lesson of obviousness isn't necessarily obvious to us, but it makes sense. And that is that stands spread. Stands spread. So let's read the verse. Wait, whoa, you ahead of me? There we go. Stands spread. So now let's read the verse. It says, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in a house. Now, we're not talking about a light, like a lamp that, you know, you turn on and it's got a lampshade and all that. These lamps were oil lamps, and the word light literally means to light, ignite, to light a match, to start a flame. And so he says, you know, as people, you don't go and say, oh, it's dark in this room, let me turn on, light a candle, and then cover it. And of course, if you grew up in church, you know the song and you know all the parts. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. But the whole point, like Jesus says, why would you do that? Why would you light this lamp and then put it under a bowl? Why would you hide it? Why would you put a lamp and hide it under something? He's like, that is a waste of time. Like, it's dark in here. Let me turn this light on and then pull the light bulb out. Like, why would you do that? That's just dumb. And for them, and I guess it would apply to us today too, but that's a waste of oil. Like, you're going to light the light and then hide it. Like, that is just dumb. That's obvious, Jesus. Yes, we get it. This is stupid. He said, instead, you put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. And you guys have worked with these principles before, I'm sure, as little kids. If you ever did, like, shadow puppets or out and, you know, camping with a flashlight, you know, the higher the light is, the more light it gives. It shines light that way. And so Jesus says, you're going to light a lamp. You're not going to keep it down on the ground. You're going to put it up high so that it lights everything around you. Thanks, Jesus. That makes so much sense. I really wasn't able to figure that out. And that's the whole point, is that we know these things, these obvious lessons of all obvious. We know that salt seasons. Jesus says, if your salt doesn't season, it's worthless. Throw it away. We know that cities shine. You can't hide a city. It's going to shine. It's going to happen. And we know that stands spread, that the light goes out. Of course it does. No one's going to hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. But like, duh. And again, if you grew up in church, you're like, oh, I know this. Let's just take a pause. Be like, do we? Because Jesus is going to make an illustration here and says that basically says, we know that salt seasons and yet we fail to be seasoning. We know that cities shine and yet we try to keep our light dark. We know that a stand spreads and yet we cover our light. And that's where Jesus goes in the next section here. But those are the obvious lessons, and you're going to have a chance to, you know, look at them in your prime groups this week. But again, very obvious, and that's on purpose because Jesus is trying to set up a point here. And that point is that you are the light. You are the light. I am the light. We are the light of the world as followers of Jesus. And so there's some principles here that Jesus draws out. The first thing, and this is all in verse 16. The first thing is a big glow. A big glow. And something that is that glows, that's bright, it shines. We need a big glow. And in verse 16, part A, so for those of you that are playing at home, part A, part B, and part C means the first third, the middle third, and the last third. It's totally subjective. I can put part C, D, E, F, G. And so, like, if you're like, what does that mean? Like, I made it up. Just go with it, okay? So, part A says this. In the same way, so just like salt, just like a city, just like a lamp, in the same way, let your light shine before others. Because Jesus says, you are the light of the world. I am the light of the world. So he says, let your light shine before others. Let your light shine. Let people see Jesus in you. Let your example be known to those around you. That people notice that there's something. I'm getting ahead of myself. But he says, let the light shine. So I'm not going to go there yet. He says, let your light shine. And here's the thing about it. He says, we are the light. We're not looking for the light. He doesn't say, if you happen to have found the light, let it shine. He says, you are the light. So let it shine. Be an example for others to see. And we're going to come back to that. And I want to be clear about this, that he doesn't say, if you feel like it, shine your light. This, let your light shine before others, it's a command. And we talked about that last week. We talked about making disciples. This isn't a suggestion. It's not, well, that's not my gift. It's not a, when I feel like it. This is a command. We are told to let our light shine because we are the light. This isn't something that you can opt out of it. Like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. No, we don't have that option. We have the light. We are the source of hope, and we'll come back to that later. But we need to shine brightly in how we live, in the example. We've got, and again, I'm going to break this in a way that if someone clipped this out and tweeted it, we'd probably get in trouble. But we have an amazing product to sell. The best product ever known to man. We've got it. And so Jesus says, do everything you can to sell it. Get it out there. Like, I mean, dude, some of you are part of these like home sale things. We got Norwex, we got Pampered Chef, we got Tupperware. We got the whole deal with some of these things. And some of you are like, this product is amazing. Here's all the things that it can do. And you're quickly to tell people about that. You're quick to tell people about that. We should be quick to tell people about the light that we have to shine for Jesus. We can't hide it. And we're going to come back to that in the fourth week of this series because there is going to be some boldness. There is going to be some courage that's going to be required. And we said last week that Jesus gives us this command, this commission to make disciples. And he ends that commission by saying, and surely I am with you always. I'm with you in this. So we can't hide it. We need to glow. We need to have a big glow. Shine bright. The second thing, he says, we have a big glow so that others see good. Big glow, see good. And so he goes on and says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds. So it's so that they will see the good. So they will see the good things you're doing. They will see the way you're living. They will see the good in you. And let's just be clear. This is also another, you know, he doesn't say let your light shine in the mirror. He doesn't say when you're alone in your car, make sure you're really good. He says let your light shine before others, which means you need to be doing that outside with people that don't know Jesus, certainly. And with people that do. But he says let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds. So they can see the good in you. And this word deeds is not, and Kendra mentioned this already, she's had to interview some people for a class, and some of the, it was a question about God and Jesus and what's your perspective on who he is and how do you get to heaven. And a lot of times, and this is what the world thinks, well, if you're good enough, then you'll get there. And it's just not true. You're never going to be good enough. And we're going to come back to that next week. So make sure you're listening online. If you can't make it, watching online, listening to the point. But the good deeds here, just to be clear, are not what get you into heaven. This is because you already have the light, because you are a Christ follower. Shine these good deeds so that others may see the good deeds. so that they may see it. And so in order to do that, you need to be doing it in places. We're going to come to this in a second. But you need to be shining your light. You need to be being an example. That's redundant. You need to be being an example everywhere so that others can see your good deeds. If you're not shining, then they're not seeing. So again, these are tied together. You shine big, you have a big glow so that others can see. If they don't see Jesus in your life, you're not going to be able to blame their eyes. Except perhaps if they're blind. All right, I'll give you that caveat. But we're often, that's kind of like, oh, well, that's because they weren't really looking. They missed that time, that one day that I did that one good thing, that one, like, whoa, that's not what Jesus said. He says, big glow, shine brightly so that everyone can see your good deeds. And let me be clear about this too. Big glow so that people can see good, big glow, see good. Let me get over in front of this camera. I'm going to this camera right now. And to all of you. This does not mean you must be perfect. Because you aren't. Jesus isn't saying perfection. Jesus is saying authentic. And in our creative team meeting about this a couple months ago, one of the phrases was that, you know, fess up if you mess up. Like, that's authenticity. That's what people want to see. Like, not, uh-oh, I'm perfect and everything's fine. Everything about my life is perfect because I'm striving for Jesus. Like, that's not real. And I'm not saying on the other side, you're like, hey, I'm just being real. Sorry, you have to deal with me. It's just who I am. I'm an idiot. I'm a jerk. No one likes to be around me. I don't tip well. I'm not nice to anyone. But it's who I am, just being real. Do you want Jesus, by the way? Because he's really transformed my life. But just to be clear, I want to be very clear about that. We're not saying perfect. We're saying authentic. And let's also add on top of that, this like bonus footnote there maybe, that when you mess up big and own up to it, that often has a bigger impact in a good way for the people that are seeing what you're doing. So like, certainly, we talk about this with the B-side series. You know, God uses mess-ups. God uses failures. God uses people with a B-side. And our B-side, if we fess up to that, if we get to that moment saying, I was wrong, that can go a long, long way for someone. And frankly, I've heard stories about that. You know, at work, something happens. Everybody else will be like, no, I'm just going to blow it off. I'm going to fake it. I'm going to pretend it's not my fault. It's everyone else's fault but mine. But to take that moment and say, you know what? I was wrong. And some of you have shared stories like that where your coworkers are shocked. Your boss is shocked. Why would you do that? Oh, are you interested in the product that I have? Are you interested in the light inside of me? Because let me tell you about what he has done in my life. So it does not mean being fake. And again, it's also one of these moments that our good deeds could happen in the hard times. We're going to talk about this in a couple of months in the series called The Speech next in the new year. But a lot of times when something bad happens, we ask, why, God? Why, God? Why? Why are you doing this to me? Why did you cause this to happen? And I propose that the question we should ask as followers of Jesus is, what, God? What do you want me to learn from this? What are you doing in me because of this? What are you doing in someone else's life because of this? Because when we go through the hard times and people see you go through a hard time and see Jesus shining, when they see that good deed, when they see what God has done in your life, they're like, okay, this is getting real now. I want what you've got. Tell me, how in the world, and again, I've heard those stories, how in the world can you deal with the loss of that person and still have hope? How in the world can you lose your job and still have hope? How in the world can you put up with that person and still respond in love? Those are the moments that we can make a difference too. So don't start going, oh, woe is me, my life is awful, why God? Maybe God is saying, I'm trying to work something out here, and I'm going to use you to shine your light. You're going to have a bigger glow than you ever imagined going through this hard time right now. And we'll come back to that, because this isn't just about our feelings, and this isn't about our temporary. This is about eternity. This is about not starting line living. Starting line living, if you weren't here a couple weeks ago, we talked about this. Starting line living is, oh, it's all about now and the feelings and the emotions. And God's saying, no, now, it's not about the starting line. It's about the finish line. It's about where we're going. It's about eternity. So eternity is what matters. And again, we're going to come back to that too. So, big glow. So, see good. And then the third thing is praise God. Big glow, see good, praise God. Big glow, see good, praise God. Big glow, see good, praise God. How do we duplicate ourselves? How do we make disciples? Because we shine brightly and others see that good deed. And that's not the end of it. Because this is the big deal. If they're just like, oh, you're a nice person. Well, thanks. You're going to hell. Like, that's not going to get you to heaven. Nice isn't enough. They need to, as we see in the last part of verse 16, part C, so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. It's all to point people to Jesus. It's all to point people to God. And the Greek word for glorify here, and we're going to come back to that word in a little bit in another verse we're looking at. The Greek word is doxazo. Doxazo. And it means to praise, to honor, but it also means to recognize. To recognize. To notice. And Jesus says, you're going to have a big glow so that others can see good. And when they see good, they're going to recognize that God is doing something in your life. They're going to recognize Jesus in your life. And next week we're going to come to this, but you're going to probably have to say some things about that. And hopefully by the end of next Sunday, you'll have some handles, some things that you can really say, all right, I'm able to do this. I can do this. But for now, let's just say that they need to see your good deeds and not end there, but so they can glorify, so they can recognize God, so they can see what He is doing in your life. That is the goal. This isn't for us to be like, oh, people like me. No. That's so starting line living. That's so shallow. And now, what if people see our good deeds and they say, wow, tell me about Jesus. Tell me about what is this hope you have. Tell me how you can have hope for eternity and not just be living for the moment. And just to be clear, sometimes it's going to take time. Kendra was a nanny for a lady for their son while we were in grad school. She worked. I went to school. I made a pie crust from scratch, though. I was the first one in the family to do that. So just to be clear, I also helped. I made dinner. I did the laundry. But she worked full time so that I could go to school. And she nannied for this lady. And their background, he was Roman Catholic. No, she was Roman Catholic, and he was Jehovah's Witness. And they had a child, literally, they had a child. That's why she was a nanny to their son. And just over the course of that year and a half where Kendra worked for them, just obviously I'm going to graduate school, I'm going to seminary, so I'm getting a degree in Christian education. And so the lady knew all about where Kendra stood on things, and Kendra was just consistent. Kendra was loving. Kendra put up with sometimes the weird requests that these parents had of their child and consistently just doing good deeds. And Kendra would talk to him about Jesus. No, I'm not interested in that. Sorry, that's not going to work for us. And over time, it took a while. What's the point? And then we left. I graduated. We moved to Central Pennsylvania. And Kendra didn't see her again. But 6 months later, 8 months later, she called Kendra and said, hey, would you like to come down and visit? And so she offered them to come down. I'm not sure if they paid for her flight or how all that worked out. But Kendra said, sure, I'd be glad. It would be so much fun to catch up, see how you guys are doing. And so they went down. It was over the course of a weekend. And Kendra said, you know, I'd really like to go to the church, to visit the church that we used to go to. Would you want to come with me? And she's like, sure. And by the end of that morning, she turned to Kendra and said, I want to give my heart to Jesus. And it was just kind of like, what? And because no question, not that they were mean, but it was definitely like, we're not interested in the Jesus you have. But Kendra said, I'm going to glow, have a big glow. They're going to see the good. And then they're going to recognize our Father in heaven. And so now, I mean, their son is like 19 or 20. They're all go to church together. Not that just going to church makes them followers of Jesus. It's a heart thing. But it took time. And now they are praising God. They recognize who God is. And so the question is, if we were supposed to have a big glow, so that people see good and they praise God. Ready? Do others recognize God when they see how you live? When people look at you, and I'm not talking about Sunday morning you, I'm talking about everyday life you. Do they see you and say, I want your Jesus? Or do they say, you know what? I'm not interested in what you're selling. Because you don't seem to be, it doesn't seem to be making a difference in your life. Why would I want that? Which brings us to the point, and that's that your example is necessary to duplicate. Your example is necessary. Like, we can't separate these two things. And honestly, and we're going to come into some of the hard things here, but I've heard so many times, we're like, oh, well, it doesn't matter how I live, I'll just tell them about Jesus. And I remember there was an evangelist, a Christian leader, once upon a time would say, you know, we as followers of Jesus, we're famous for cutting off someone's nose because we're so obnoxious and then offering them a rose to sell, or to smell. A rose to smell. Like, hey, I'm going to be mean to you. I'm going to hate on you. I'm going to talk about your type, whatever it is, your political affiliation. Maybe I'm going to talk about how those people outside of church. Maybe I'm going to talk about your sexual orientation. Maybe I'm going to talk about whatever these things are. And I'm not saying that all those things are wonderful and great. But then we're saying, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. Let me tell you about Jesus. No, our example matters. Your example matters. And I'm not just talking about there. I'm talking about with the people you are with. So, let's talk about losing the sale. Again, taking this metaphor, don't tweet this, don't screenshot it, don't send it out there and get me in trouble, that I've made everything about selling Jesus. Because I'm rich, by the way, just so you know. And that's why we brought Chris on, too. I'm like, Chris, welcome to the bounty of richness of pastoral ministry at MC3. So, but when it comes to losing the sale, because that's what happened with this guy, with the tread climber. Like, we're really not interested in what you're trying to sell us. Sorry. Nothing personal, but you clearly have not bought into what you're trying to give us. So I want to talk about three things. The first thing is that your example matters for eternity. And I just, again, your example matters. I want to make sure that we understand that. This matters. That's the point of this Sunday, that we're trying to talk about duplicating ourselves. We're trying to make more followers of Jesus. We're trying to make people more like Jesus. Hi, I'm going to come to this side with the camera and you over here. We're trying to make more people like Jesus. And in doing that, our example matters. Your example matters. You can't just push this aside and say, it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. Why is it a big deal? Because we're talking about eternity. We're not talking about whether they're going to like you at the end of the day. We're not talking about something that might be fleeting or passing or someone you'll never see again. We're not talking about, it doesn't really matter that I said that. They'll get over it. We're talking about eternity. We're talking about heaven and hell. We're talking about eternity in a place where there is no more tears, no more crying, no more disease, worshiping forever our Father, versus a place where there is eternal suffering, in fire, in pain, in torment, for those that have not chosen to follow Jesus. And if you want to know more about that, we did a series called Burn. You can go to mc3church.org/BURN. And we did 4 weeks all about what hell is. And it is not pleasant. And so we're not talking about like, oh, not a big deal. Well, no, they're just going to go to hell for eternity. You decide, is that a big deal? And we're going to get to this a little bit too. But that eternity, it isn't just for those people that we're trying to be intentional examples for. There are people all around you that you know and you love that need Jesus. And they are watching your example. And so wouldn't it be awful for you to be the reason? Now, there's a bigger picture here of what God is doing. But wouldn't it be awful for you to be the reason? You know what? I was interested in Jesus, then I saw how you lived, and I'm like, never mind. Because our example matters for eternity. And this is what Paul writes to the church in Philippi, in Philippians. This is the Message version. I love the Message on this one. And so, actually, prime group leaders, if you want to note, like, maybe the Message version to read into your groups, you can read the other ones too. But this one, I love the way it words it. And this is a paraphrase, so it's not an actual translation. He says, do everything... This is Paul writing. Do everything readily and cheerfully. No bickering, no second guessing allowed. Listen to what he says. Go out into the world uncorrupted. Go out into the world uncorrupted. A breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society. He says, go out. You are the salt. This society, this world is awful. The world sucks. Go out as a breath of fresh air. I've got something for you that's going to matter. I have something that's going to give you hope in a hard time. He says, provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God. Carry the light-giving message into the night. So you're going out into the darkness and you've got the light. He says, go out and do this. So I'll have good cause to be proud of you on the day that Christ returns. You'll be living proof that I didn't go to all this work for nothing. But we are supposed to do this because it matters for eternity. We have a world that doesn't have hope. We put our hope into things. We put our hope into stuff. We put our hope into relationships. We put our hope in people. And every one of those things, in some way, shape, or form, is going to let you down. But Jesus will not. And so when we're talking about this example, if people are looking at you and saying, what do you have that's different? We're talking about eternity. We're talking about forever. We're talking about hope. And, the fact that Jesus says you are the light, think of it this way. There is a disease that is ravaging everyone in this world. And I'm not talking about COVID. The disease is sin. And everyone has the disease. And as a follower of Jesus, you are the cure. Or at least you have the cure. Because the cure is Jesus. You have the cure. And let's just be clear here. Let's go back to COVID. If somebody were to find out that all along, like, you've had a bottle of the cure for COVID in the back of your house, and you could easily replicate it, I think people would be pretty upset to find out that all along you had this cure and you didn't share. Or a cure for cancer, a cure for other disease. Like, people would be upset. And we have the cure to the sin problem. And it matters for eternity. And so we need to share it. Don't screw it up by hiding it. Be an example to other people. And I said this last week too, just again, keep in mind, we're talking about eternity. We're talking about shining light in darkness. You may be the only Jesus that someone ever sees. You might be, and you don't know what that is, you don't know how that works, but you might be the only person that follows Jesus that someone ever comes into contact with. And so when they look at you, do they see someone that says, oh, what is different about you? I want what you have. How can I become a follower of Jesus? And again, it's about this not starting line, but finish line living. And you can find that at mc3church.org. That was part of the name series last month. And it was the beginning and the end. It was the very last week of the series where we talked all about living for now versus living for eternity. But just let's not forget that this is a big deal. This is a big deal. This isn't like, it's okay, they'll get over it. Oh, they weren't really paying attention. My kids don't mind. My wife's fine with that. Whatever those excuses are that we make, people are watching, and this is a big deal. This is about eternity. The second thing is that your example matters for integrity. And this kind of comes back to the tread climber illustration. Like, you're not going to want to buy something from somebody that hasn't lived it themselves, that hasn't bought into it themselves. In Matthew 23, and you can read the rest of Matthew 23, but verses 2 to 3, Jesus is setting up what are often called the seven woes. Not like fun, like, whoa. I'm getting so old. I need new references. Seven woes, where he basically insults the Pharisees in these massive, long seven things because of this. He says, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, meaning they have a position of responsibility. So you must be careful to do everything they tell you, because they're reading the law. They're reading the Old Testament. They're reading the Bible. It's sort of like, you know, if you have nothing to do with how I live or you don't care about Sean, keep reading the Bible that Sean's teaching, because that's where the authority is. So he says, be careful to do what they say, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. And that's where we get that phrase, practice what you preach. Don't do what they say. No one wants to follow a fake. No one wants to be a part. Like Jesus says, look, even these leaders, and this is Jesus saying, like, that's kind of harsh. These religious leaders, oh, they don't practice what they preach. Don't do what they do. They're wrong. They're messed up. And that's the thing for us, is that our integrity matters. that if we're going to be an example for Jesus, people need to look at us and see something that's different and not see a fake. And this is one of the things, this is one of our core values at MC3 is authenticity, being real. And that's what I love. Sometimes we're too real for people. I know I've actually had people come and they're like, no, nobody can be that real. And they leave. They're like, I can't handle this. And so I love that because a lot of churches definitely get caught up in fake and looking good on Sunday morning, but the rest of our life is a mess. But integrity is all of this. Our example matters. So when we go through a hard time or a good time, when we screw up, we fess up, all of those things coming together because it matters for our integrity. And of course, no one likes a poser. No one likes a poser. You can spot them a mile away. I mean, I'm not going to say his name because maybe someday he'll be interested in Jesus and want to hear what I have to say. But it was a friend of mine in school, and everybody knew he was a poser. Everybody knew, because every time, like, whatever happened to be the cool crowd, the next day he was wearing that exact same shirt. Whatever the topic of conversation was, he would come and be like, oh, let me tell you all about Karl Malone and the Utah Jazz, because they're awesome. Is the Jazz even a basketball team anymore? Didn't they move somewhere? But Karl Malone is probably still alive. But I just remember, and everybody knew it. We were polite, but it was like, he's a poser. Anything he has to say, he's just making it up. He's faking it. And that matters because if we're going to offer Jesus, we need to offer something that's authentic. Jesus says, don't follow them. They don't practice what they preach. And again, we're not talking about perfection, but authenticity with confession and humility. That's where it comes from. And again, that humility, that confession, that sometimes has a bigger mark in a good way than just looking good. And I mean being good, not just faking it, but being good. And let me just drop this on you. This matters at home. Because at home is where people can see how real or fake you are. At home, people know the real you. Your wife and your husband knows the real you. Your kids know the real you. And if you're preaching something, let's be real, right? If you're up front preaching something, it better matter at home. And I'm not trying to say this in an arrogant way, but ask my kids. If there is something different about what I say up here and how I live it at home, I need to fix it. I need to change it. Jesus says, don't do what he says. He doesn't practice what he preaches. And the same thing for us. If we're going to offer Jesus, we need to practice what we preach. And that means at home. Your family sees the real you. And let me just be clear about this. It could affect their eternity. Because your kids are watching you. And maybe they have not made the decision to follow Jesus. Are you going to be helping that or pulling that back? And I can say in some of the interviews that Kendra had over these last couple of weeks, one of the themes that we heard a lot was from people that grew up in church and then don't go to church now, and it was because of their parents. Man, my parents were fake. I don't want that fake. I'm done. So our example matters for integrity. We need to be living what we're saying. It matters. And then finally, just in case we didn't hit anything yet, your example matters totally. Everything. Your example matters in everything. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul is wrapping up his letter to the church in Corinth. And in chapter 10, he's talking about these different religious beliefs that Jews had and some of the non-Jewish people had. And basically, it was this discussion of, you know, if you're going to, don't do something if it's going to offend somebody. You know, you can do whatever you want, but if it's going to offend them, just don't do that for the time being. You know, if you're going to be, Thanksgiving's coming up, that's always the afternoon conversation, is politics. If you have someone in your family that doesn't agree with you, you know, you can be like, well, I'll just not talk about that. So that's kind of where Paul's going with this. And so he wraps it up in verse 31. He says, so whether you eat or you drink, because it was about eating or drinking, he says, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. The word glory there, doxa. Do it all. Whatever you do, do it all so that people will recognize God. Whatever you do in everything, do it so that people will recognize God. He says, don't give offense to Jews or Gentiles or the church of God. And again, that ties into the context. And then he goes on and says, I too try to please everyone in everything I do. Man, Paul, are you a people pleaser? What's your deal here? I don't just do what is best for me. not so I feel good. I do what is best for others so that many may be saved. Paul says, look, everything, totally, our example matters everywhere we are in everything you do. So does your example matter at home? Yes, it does. Does it matter in your job? Absolutely. Be a good worker. Do a good job. Show up on time because your example matters. Does it matter when I'm out at a restaurant and I have someone waiting on me and they do a bad job? Yes. Be a good tipper because they might see your good deeds and glorify God in heaven. Well, you're just justifying poor service. Maybe it's not about what's best for me, but maybe we're doing it for others so that they might be saved. Does it matter when you're driving? Absolutely. If you're afraid to get an MC3 sticker on your car because the way you drive, you've got an integrity problem. Let's just be real here. It's got to matter everywhere. It should be in everything that you do. Here's another thing that happens to me, right? And if I step on your toes, I apologize. But this is a quote. I'll set it right here. I shouldn't say this to you because you're a pastor. And then they go on and say something. If you have to lead with that line, you shouldn't be saying it at all. Because our integrity matters. Our example matters. It matters in everything. It matters how we drive. It matters how we worship. It matters where we are in our jobs. It matters in our homes. It matters in everything. And you guys might remember, now again, I don't care. At this point, I'm old. But back in the day, there was a song called I Always Feel Like Somebody's Watching Me. And it was really popular because Michael Jackson did the hook on that. The guy didn't make it any beyond that song. But you should always feel that way because people are. Oh, they don't really notice what I do. You're wrong. It doesn't matter how I respond to this. You're wrong. You need to be an example. You need to be an example in how you love your spouse because people are watching you. And if they say, you know what, why would I want your Jesus? Because you clearly don't care about your spouse. You need to be an example in how you raise your kids. You need to be an example in how you respect and honor your parents. We need to be an example because it matters, and it matters in everything. It matters totally. There is no place that we can get away from this because it matters, because we're talking about eternity here. We're talking about letting our light shine so that people will see our good deeds and then recognize and glorify God so that we can duplicate ourselves, so that we can make more people that follow Jesus, because Jesus is going to give them a hope for eternity. It's about being real. It's about our example, and it matters. And I feel like we are so quick to justify and excuse and like, well, you don't understand the situation. You know, I was really mad that day. Is that a good enough reason? Maybe if you were really mad that day and your example was bad, what you need to do right away is go back to them and say, I'm sorry, and I was wrong. And maybe that's the switch that gets flipped. But your example matters totally. Paul says, I'm doing it everywhere I am. I'm trying to do everything I can to honor God so that people will see my good deeds and then recognize Him. So, your example is necessary to duplicate. And that's, it would be easier to skip this part. It would be. Let's just talk about, you know, how Jesus is going to be with us, and that's going to be great, and how we can, you know, here's some tools for how we can share Jesus. But it's a command, and this is the next step, because they're not going to care what we have to say if Jesus hasn't made a difference in our life. And so we need to shine brightly. We need to have a big glow so that they see good and praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. God, thank you so much that you have given us hope. That we're not just talking about good feelings. We're not talking about just making it through another day. We're talking about eternity. And that as followers of you, you have done what we can't do. We are not going to be good enough. We are never going to add up enough to make our way into heaven. And that's why you came, because you were perfect. And therefore, you took our sin, giving us your perfection, And by believing in you, we have hope for eternity. And God, you have called us, you have told us, you have commanded us. So this is an issue of obedience, to make disciples, to duplicate ourselves. And as we do that, our example matters. And so, God, I pray that you would help us to look deep within ourselves, look at how we respond to every situation around us, to every person around us, and look at that the way Paul saw that, as an opportunity. Maybe, just this time, it might save someone. It might draw them to you. And God, again, we're not talking about perfection because we don't have it. You are perfect. So help us to be humble and fess up when we mess up, that others may see our big glow and that they might honor and recognize you. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.